93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Well, she'll be speaking tonight at 6:30, room 120 of the Architecture Building. That's at 608 East Laredo Taft Drive. The book is Never in My Wildest Dreams, A Black Woman's Life in Journalism. It is the legendary Belva Davis. Belva, how are you?
I am on top of the world.
Well,
talking to you.
I'm just a fan. I mean, what you have done is amazing.
Well, I have been really, truly, really a very fortunate woman to have been given so many opportunities, and I never, never forget it.
Well, but you had 150,000 chances to wither. You didn't. You're not a withering person. You won't wither. Well, I mean,
no.
you had courage and drive and persistence, and you said, "No, I can do this," and you did it.
And you know what? Sometimes it's been very, very hard to remember that my goal in life is to overcome the obstacles, not to let them stop me. And I have to sometimes refocus and say, do you really, really believe that in your heart? And usually the answer is yes.
Yeah, but you've made this journey. You've made this walk. I mean, we're talking about Rosa Parks kind of breakthrough stuff where you had to endure. Here you are, an African-American woman on the West Coast, the first African-American journalist on the West Coast. You heard a lot of bad things. People yelled at you. They said nasty things to you.
That's true. But, you know, I think it happens in real life. But look how lucky I was. I landed a job as a reporter. So therefore, I could express my feelings about it. I could get all of that out. I could even talk to them as a professional. So it's nothing personal. So I think of whatever I had to go through, nowhere compared anyway to the things that were going on in the southern part of the country at that time.
Yeah.
But they were small, and they took handling, like working with my photographers, going out on assignments, and in those days being an interracial couple where the men truly were pink more than
right.
And they were pale-skinned from the embarrassment of being with me.
Were you hesitant at all to ask tough questions of black men?
Absolutely not. No, I think the only way you're going to get real answers is you got to punch a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You got to poke people a bit. And I don't mean to be insulting or to be rude, but you got to say something that gets past their set lines of response.
Yeah.
And that's much more harder to do today than it was for me back then, because now everybody's media trained.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly right. Boy, you wind them up and they're going to give you the answers regardless of your question. It really doesn't matter. All right, let me ask you, I'm going to throw some names at you, and I want your, like, this year on the, you're on the psychiatrist couch here. I want first reactions when I say the following names. Belva Davis, okay. Speaking tonight. You got to hear her at 6:30. The book is Never in My Wildest Dreams, A Black Woman's Life in Journalism. Okay, Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, I was lucky to meet him in the days of segregated radio at a time when he did not have exposure to the national media to the degree that he finally did. So I got to meet him as a normal, ordinary person, and then I got to meet him on a very important day in his life, standing in the rain outside of Santa Rita Prison in Pleasanton, California, waiting for Joan Baez to be released from jail for participating in peace activities.
Mm.
And he stood out there and waited for her, recounted how she had come south and waited for him.
Wow.
And he was there to return a favor. So it was a tender day. For a reporter to keep the tears back was difficult.
Yeah, I bet it was. And you had to admire Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, you were a professional, you're a journalist, but you had to look at him and say, wow.
I mean, it doesn't mean because you're a journalist you don't have human emotions.
Sure.
So of course I had very strong feelings. But I never, thank God, never had anybody write in and say that I had produced a biased report.
That's awesome.
That I had not reported on what had happened. Really, that was news that day.
All right, next name, James Brown.
James Brown was turned out, I thought, was going to be the end of my career. One day I'm sitting at my desk talking about James Brown, because here was a man who just let half of his band out in the desert one day and drove the bus off without them.
Mm.
And he came into my office, and I was talking to my office worker friend, and I was saying, oh, that James Brown, he is such an ugly little thing. You know? And then I ended up by saying, and I'd better get out of here before he gets here. And then I heard this clearing of a voice, and it was James Brown standing in my doorway. And I knew, me being the clerk part-time DJ, I was out. He was the guy that was going to fill the Oakland Auditorium that night. And I waited for his temper to flare. But, you know, he looked at me as I sat there at my desk, tears rolling down my face, and he said to me, "Honey, you don't think I'm ugly, do you?" And with that, we both laughed.
That is so, such a great story. And all right, next name, Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali was a guy that had so much spirit. I remember going out doing a story with him, and he was doing a walk down one of the main streets in San Francisco. And being a working mom, I brought my child with me, which he disapproved of course. And so finally he looked at me and he said, "Give me that child." And he took my daughter and he put her up on his shoulder, and we walked down Fillmore Street, and I had one of the best days of my life.
Awesome.
So awesome. Belva Davis is our guest. She speaks tonight at 6:30, room 120, the Architecture Building. The book is Never in My Wildest Dreams, A Black Woman's Life in Journalism. I read your bio. I read when you were born. It's not possible. No way. There's no way the date is right. Belva, you sound like you're 30. Come on.
Listen,
it's
in
crazy.
In my mind, I am.
Well, you have this youthful spirit.
It's there's just... the now famous to me Mike Wallace quote. As he aged, how he would go to bed at night with all these wonderful ideas popping around, then get up in the morning, and the body would say, "No, you're not."
Well, we had a legendary guy around here, Tommy Stewart, a former coach that just passed away, and he gave me a great quote, Belva. He said, "There are three stages in life, youth, middle age, and you're looking good." Those are the three stages. Three stages.
I love that.
You're looking good.
I am going to be 80 years old.
Oh.
I am still anchoring a television program every week.
Please send
still
me your
traveling.
Diet. Send me your diet. I've got to eat what you eat. This is crazy. It's just such a when people go through their life and have impact and do it with courage and dignity and integrity, you admire it. Regardless of anything, I admire what you have done because you have had to persevere. Those are the great stories, the people that get knocked down and get back up, and you've truly been a leader and very inspiring in journalism.
Well, thank you, Jay, so much. But remember, the challenges are what made a career for me. Mm. Without them, I'd be nobody.
Yeah, but without your courage, you'd have quit a long time ago. A long time ago. So you certainly must be admired. Listen, I hope it goes wonderfully tonight. I know it's a great opportunity for everybody listening to my voice to see and hear and meet you tonight at 6:30. Great to have you in Champaign-Urbana. We welcome you. And again, thank you. Congratulations on all you're doing.
I appreciate it so much.
Great to talk to Belva Davis. Again, the book is titled Never in My Wildest Dreams, A Black Woman's Life in Journalism, A Real Pioneer. Belva Davis in town tonight, 6:30, room 120 of the Architecture Building, 608 East Laredo Taft Drive in Champaign. It'll be fabulous to see her. 843-935-953, Connect FM.
You need it for qualifications.
Yeah, I tell you what, I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Classy?
Exactly.
Did you say classy?
Wow.
She's going to turn
so many great experiences.
80? She's going to turn 80?
Right.
May I see some identification, ma'am? Yeah, I don't buy it.
There's so many things we could have still tapped into.
Oh, boy.
Also, so many stories. She said she talked with Barbara Walters and Oprah Winfrey in her day, talking about how they never got married and had children, and how would they do that again?
But the way she handled everything from the standpoint of journalism, from the standpoint of... Yeah, you got to ask the hard question. Mm-hmm. Listen, without the tough question, without our media, as much as they get castigated and pounded, without a reporter asking difficult questions, it ain't going to work. The democracy collapses. Mm-hmm. If we don't have people at the checkpoint here, the sheriff is the journalist. Now, the criticism comes when you ask a tougher question of one party than the other. Because you're kind of in their camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue these days. Well, you're just biased.
Right.
But, we have to ask tough questions regardless. It should transcend party and affiliation. It should be because we have to have the answer to protect the people. You work for me. You don't work for you. You don't work for a monolith government. You work for me. It's a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And thus... you respond and answer to me. That's what feels like it's slipping.
Yeah.
All right, check your Connect FM sports headlines now.